Hello, this is Michelle Masurgeon, and I'm interviewing Kathy Kelly, and we are on WOOC. Kathy, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Sorry for the noise of the train in the background. I'm heading downtown into Chicago for a demonstration, an emergency demonstration, calling for no war against Iran.
So could you let us know what your background is on Iran?
Well, I'm somebody who was in Iraq all through the shock and awe bombing, and I visited Iraq 27 times during a time of economic sanctions against Iraq. And, you know, in the time before the United States bombed and invaded Iraq in 1990, there had been a horrible long war between Iran and Iraq. And Henry Kissinger, during that war, said things couldn't be better. They're killing each other and using our weapons to do it. And I think that kind of cynicism has much to do with the United States' attitude toward people living in the Middle East, even today. I'm somebody who's horrified by war, having lived in Iraq during the shock and awe bombing, and I don't want to see it start up again.
So what do you think about the present situation in Iran and how the U.S. is handling that situation?
Well, I think the U.S. has been lethally, even brutally, meddlesome. It's not any right of the United States to decide what Iran should do in terms of the treaty that had already been signed, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The United States pulled out of that treaty and then ratcheted up economic sanctions so that Iranians have had a blockade against selling their oil, and that's been a main source of income for them. So the Iranian people have suffered desperately under those situations, and their options are beginning to become more and more limited. For the United States to target and then assassinate a major figure in Iranian history and politics, I think is an act of aggression, an act of war. And I guess, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that there's been a massive outpouring of Iranians in the streets saying, we want to take revenge, or we don't want to accept or acquiesce to this. I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in using weapons to solve problems. I'm disappointed to know that Ayatollah Khamenei has said that, you know, they don't any longer want to negotiate. But certainly the United States has not been a good negotiating partner. The United States has based its foreign policy on threat, force, assassination, and also on lies.
What do you think our president should do or should have done?
Well, I think at this point he should certainly apologize. Mm. Apologize for suffering caused. Mm. And it's my belief that he could still rely on neighboring countries. He could rely on the wisdom of some of the people within Iraq, turn to the United Nations and the Security Council and say, look, I need help with this. And try very hard to get all United States troops out of Iraq and out of the Middle East.
What do you think veterans of these wars are feeling about this, let alone the American public?
Well, it's good to read some of the ones who are writing these days. I think of Sergeant Major Daniel Jursen. He's been writing regularly, and any of the veterans with about-face Veterans Against War in Iraq and Afghanistan, any of the veterans within Veterans for Peace, they tend to be very clear-headed, thoughtful, articulate, and weary of war after war after war.
And when you were in Iraq, what was the relationship at that point with the Iranians?
Well, at that point within Iraq, I think there was a wariness. The Iranians and the Iraqis had been at war for a long time. But the further south you went, for instance, the city of Basra, a port city, people knew that, you know, in former decades, just across the Shatt al-Arab, they had relatives living on the other side of that waterway. And there wasn't such a sense of irreconcilable differences. But certainly under Saddam Hussein, there was a sense that you have to point fingers at the Iranian people, that you can't trust them. But I wasn't surprised myself when there was so much of a thaw, in a sense, after the United States left such a vacuum and the Iranians began to move in, and they're, you know, so connected to Shia brothers and sisters in terms of their faith-based traditions.
You are with a organization right now, and what is the name of that organization?
Well, our group is called Voices for Creative nonviolence. And we grew out of Voices in the Wilderness, which broke the economic sanctions through sending 70 delegations to Iraq during that period of time. And we're joining in coalition now with many groups for a demonstration today. Code Pink, the Chicago Area Peace Action, the Answer Group. And we're happy to see so many people willing to turn out. At least last Saturday we had, they're now saying close to 1,000 marching down Michigan Avenue in Chicago, all united on the idea that we don't want war.
So the nonviolence message is, you know, what's the alternative?
Well, take all the funding that goes to Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, for instance, which made huge profits out of this, you know, rumbling in the past week that there might be more weapons sold. I mean, they don't care which side buys the weapons. So take that money away from the Pentagon, away from the bloated, greedy, profiteering weapon-making companies, and start putting it into needs that we really must solve: climate catastrophe, mass incarceration, immigration, declining infrastructure. These are things that make sense, and I think people would get behind it. And, you know, it's a pity that most of our nominees for elected office are afraid to speak out bluntly on these matters, but they know that the weapon-making lobbies have a vice-like grip on the Congress and on the media, and on many of our universities as well.
The surrounding countries, let's say, or our allies like France, England, Saudi Arabia, I mean, what are we hearing from them?
Well, the Saudis have been scooping up United States weapons. In fact, I just got working out a multi-billion-dollar contract for a small town in Wisconsin that's very depressed and economically needy to build four huge lethal warships for the Saudi Navy. I don't see the Saudis as our friends. I think in their war-making against Yemen, they've dragged us into something shameful and disgraceful, and no good can come of it. I don't see the United Arab Emirates as our friends either. I don't see Israel as a friendly country. I think that they've all promoted the idea of using war and imprisonment and torture and killing, and that's not something people do in a friendly spirit. I think other countries also like to sell their weapons, including France, including Spain, including Italy. So I don't know that we have to find our friends within nationalist grouping. I think we can find our friends within the groups of people like the Sanctuary Media Center that come together, try to work for a better community, and use methods of dialogue and negotiation and fairness and extending the hand of friendship to do that.
And
they're all over the world.
Yeah.
I've seen them in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
And then even the impact of sanctions on the individuals living in these countries.
Oh, well, that's so terrible. You know, the people that are most walloped and beaten up by these economic sanctions are not your, you know, big leaders or big heads of corporations. They're the little people, the elderly and the sick and the impoverished. And then so terribly, children. In Iraq, according to Joy Gordon from Harvard University Press, over 500,000 children under age 5 died as a direct result of those economic sanctions. And I certainly couldn't provide statistics, but I sat at the bedsides of at least 100 little children. They were wizened up. They looked like little old men. Their eyes were huge. You could count their ribs. They were suffering horribly. There were no anesthetics, no oral rehydration kits, no ways to relieve respiratory infections, things kids shouldn't have died from. Their mothers were sorrowful, and they kept saying, "Leish, leish, why? And I also sat at the bedsides of children ripped apart by our bombs during the shock and awe bombing. And when people have a sense for little bodies being torn apart, I know they'll say, "We don't want to do that. We just don't want to do it again." But that's why we're considered the most menacing country all around the world.
So we need to wrap this up. What would be the message?
I see my train coming.
What's the message you would like to leave everyone?
That we all can work for peace, that we all can take to heart that idea that we don't want to be this way anymore. We don't want to be menacing and feared people, that we want to extend a hand of friendship and live in fairness with other people.
Well, I thank you very much, Kathy Kelly, for taking time out of your day to speak with us.
Well, thank you, Michelle. It's been a privilege to speak with you.
All righty. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye now.